This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
News story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Well, Michael, I was hoping we'd have good news by maybe the end of the hour or the end of the show today, but more of the same for the Broncos, unfortunately. The Saints are signing former Jaguars running back Travis Etienne Jr. per sources. This is from Jordan Schultz, and everybody else now has this. So no Kenneth Walker, no Etienne. Seeing a few other names in the wide receiver market that are going bye-bye as well. They got Mike. You got to get J.K. Dobbins back. And maybe that's what they were waiting to see. I just don't think they want to pay. I don't think they want. I heard that Zach Stevens tweeting out from DNVR Broncos that Denver was in conversations with Kenneth Walker and his agency, but the price tag, it's just too much. And we talked about this last week that under George Payton, the Broncos don't have running backs that make much more than a few million dollars a year. So, and I you know, Caleb Johnson is another name that I saw maybe was interesting name, Jalen Warren. And I don't know, man. This is where we're going. It's where we're going with this situation. But I think you bring J.K. back. Maybe they'll have the money to give John Franklin Myers his contract, and then you can salvage something out of at least your own free agents. Time will tell. The Dolphins will release quarterback Tua Tagovailoa after the start of the new league year in a move that will leave Miami with now, hey, you can no longer that belongs to the Broncos. This will be an NFL record, $99.2 million in dead money against the salary cap. The Broncos was around 80 or so, Mike. They announced their intentions to release Tua in a statement Monday. A source told ESPN's Adam Schefter that Tua's release will be designated post-June 1st, allowing the Dolphins to split the dead money over 2 years. That's what the Broncos did. It was at least helped them, obviously, make the moves that they made in two off-seasons, leading to two years of postseason play for Denver. So with that, with the post-June 1st designation, that'll leave the Dolphins with a $67.4 million dead hit against the salary cap in 2026, followed by $31.8 million in 2027. So Denver's was kind of like that, but it was more or less split down the middle. Six seasons in Miami for Tua. And as Big Hub pointed out earlier on the text line, Falcons are making a push for Tua. Why am I? There's a lot of quarterbacks that I'm looking at that I'm like, okay, maybe a different change of pace. I'm out on Tua. Is it the injury thing? Is it just, I mean, there for a moment with Miami, it was like, hey, you've got Tua, you've got a really young, innovative coach, and now you've got Tyreek Hill. It looked like Miami was at least going to be a really fun offense year in and year out and doing it in the playoffs.
I think a new start for Tua would be beneficial, but the reason why I would never sign him, all those concussions, the man can't keep running around like that. He just can't do that. I can't have my quarterback doing that. For his health and for the health of the team, like I would, when he got several concussions in a row, I wanted him to retire because that's bad for your brain. He's got kids. He's got to raise his kids. And I get it. He has the right to make money and stuff. But, hey, man, that's tough. That's really tough. And I root for the guy. But I would never sign someone with that many concussions.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I'll be really interested to see if that works out. Big Hub, I am so out on Tua. He's just not one of those guys that I look at. Maybe after the first couple of years or last couple of years, I don't know. With the the injuries to it as well, and just didn't work out.
Even if he had come from the Cleveland Browns and you were able to blame the Cleveland Browns, I wouldn't even sign him then.
I think he should go to Cleveland.
I feel so bad for the guy. I don't hate him at all.
I think everybody should go there. Everybody should go to Cleveland. That's my new thing. I'm trying to see if there's more. The other name and the other running back on the list too, that's out there, is Rico Dowdle signed anywhere yet, Mike? I know that was another kind of the third of the three running backs we were looking at. But they're missing out on guys. I mean, that's just the way it goes. I want to be like, oh, no, this is an AFC championship team. Bringing back, running it back with the same crew, they'll be fine. It's a harder schedule. You won dangerously. You won dangerously last year. Now, I know you say no, but you did. You won dangerously.
No, I was saying nothing about Rico. I have no news.
Okay, I thought you were ready to fight. No news there.
I mean, we can fight
no,
if you want.
But they did win dangerously. They were winning crazy games.
Yeah, they not, won Danger Witch games.
It's not necessarily like something you count on. And you can say, well, Brady, with Bo, you can. Well, you gotta give him more weapons. And so far, Adam Trautman and Nate Adkins re-signing. And don't worry, you have your third string quarterback. So
I like him.
Okay. I'm actually I'm kind of the guy that's like, just do the Shanahan thing, carry two quarterbacks. And if somebody gets hurt, you go pick somebody else up.
No, I don't like that. Personally, I think you should have a 54-man roster.
Well, now you're just making up rules.
Fourth person is your third-string quarterback, and that fourth person doesn't count.
That's
and that quarterback doesn't count.
So you're
the
just saying, no.
Third-string quarterback doesn't count.
You just everybody gets one. Everybody gets a bonus quarterback.
Yes.
No. I don't think so. All right. So this happened over the weekend. Well, I guess it was Friday. President Donald Trump plans executive order to address college sports issues. Heather Dinich of ESPN wrote this up. After a plea for help from the highest level of college athletics, President Donald Trump on Friday said he will write an executive order within a week that will solve all the problems. It's quote, solve all the problems.
That's immediately going to go to one of the courts.
And this is where it enters our world, right? Like when I hear somebody, oh, it's going to solve. Dude, this isn't going to happen as easily as everyone thinks. It should. Yeah, sure. But it's not. It was an unprecedented meeting at the White House that was scheduled to last an hour and ended up going 2 hours. He was joined by 50 people from varied backgrounds, hosted the first Saving College Sports Roundtable with Vice Chair Secretary of State Marco Rubio, New York Yankees President Randy Levine, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. I don't know.
What does the president of the Yankees have anything?
I don't know.
This is college sports. Look, if it was up to me, I would bring in some.
Well, they did. Hang on, you're jumping the gun here, Mike. There's other politicians there, but also sports celebrities, media executives, conference commissioners, and university presidents, chancellors, and athletic directors. I know Nick Saban was there. I know Urban Meyer was there. And say what you will about Urban Meyer, he still has a voice on college sports, college football.
Someone on his lap.
President Trump said, I will have an executive order within 1 week, and it will be very all-encompassing. and we're going to put it forward, and we're going to get sued, which at least he's honest about it, and we're going to see how it plays, okay? But I'll have an executive order. What I read over the weekend from Ross Dellinger, and I don't have it in front of me, was that basically this executive order is going to try to go back in time and basically put the rules and regulations back in place before NIL existed. It won't work. It won't work.
But didn't the Supreme Court rule?
They've already said that that's not, like, you can't, these kids, you can't keep kids from earning money. It's just the way they're going about earning money. And it's not necessarily on the athlete. It's just, I can't stress this enough. The fact that we air out whether or not a kid's going to a different school and we already know the money that they're getting before they show up on campus is against the rules, I thought. But now we just report on it like it's just, oh, so-and-so is going to sign with Ohio State. It's going to get $1 million. That shouldn't be... Michael, it was never supposed to be used as a way to get you to the school. Now, we all know it was happening in the Stone Age, and we all know it's happening now. But now we just report on it, and it's out in the open. That's the first problem. How do you keep people from cheating, man? Like, that's what's happening here. How do you get K-State, allegedly, from reaching out to... How do you keep them from reaching out to Braden Fowler Nicolosi 2 years ago for insurance, backup quarterback insurance, and saying, hey, you make the transfer to K-State and you get $600,000. And we can argue all day whether it was really $600,000 or was that more in like stuff and it wasn't just $600,000 cash. We could argue that because I think it's like a gray area. But that can't happen. They call it blind transferring. So you just enter the portal, not knowing where you're going to go, but then suddenly you go somewhere big and you're making a boatload of cash. It should all be blind transferring, shouldn't it? Shouldn't all of it be blind transferring? The fact we even have a term for that is crazy. You shouldn't know where you're going to go before you enter the portal. You should have no idea. I mean, yeah, theoretically you have people that follow different programs and know their needs and their wants and their weaknesses. And they could say, hey, you're a hell of a running back and they needed a running back. I bet if you entered the portal like that. But Mike, how do you regulate cheating? You don't, because this has been a problem since the NCAA started to become popular, since they actually started to make money. You don't regulate it. I maintain the best plan is you buy out players. I think that's because you're not going to get them to sign contracts, which we keep saying, and I keep saying it too, but you keep seeing all these other people say, well, we're getting ready to get to the world of they're just paid employees. If the players are showing no interest in that, then what do you know, because doing the union thing, all that, they don't want contracts. They want to be able to jump and go and do whatever and earn as much. And 1 year the market's this. No, I don't want to lock into that for this year for 2 years. I know I could make more if I have a really good season. I'm going to go make double. I'm going to go make triple what I made last year. Also in attendance, NCAA President Charlie Baker, along with ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormack, Big 10 Commissioner Tony Petitti, and American Conference Commissioner Tim Pernetti. And I think Notre Dame's athletic director was there as well.
Were there any representatives for the players? Because would want to include them.
Yeah, and that's funny you say that.
Because like, funny you say have that. You have to have a leader, like either a former player, or you have to have a current player.
Okay, so you're asking good questions. Apparently, everyone else is asking the same questions too. Many of the agendas in this room and outside this room are going to become impossible, is what Texas Tech billionaire booster Cody Campbell said. The reality is nobody's going to get everything. If we're going to come to a solution on this, we have to find a place where we're all equally unhappy, just like any other business deal. Phillips told the president, we need your help, and said none of the commissioners in the room had been told by any players that they want to be considered employees. Phillips said they're smart enough to understand what that means. It also expressed a sense of urgency. We'll fracture more if we fail to act. But there were no players or representatives of players at this meeting. So I don't, I would think I would want a handful of players there saying, hey, here's why we don't want to be employees. Here's why we, you got to get players to come forward that are actually kind of like, yeah, this is getting a little crazy, to try to find a way, because this is wild. Now, this is also crazy too, because Sarah Hirschlin, the CEO of the United States Olympics and Paralympic Committee, said the college feeder system has been the backbone of Team USA for generations. So she goes on, she says this. She said she cautioned not to take the sports at the collegiate level for granted. So all this talk about making football and basketball like professional sports and stuff, well, you some of these other teams would just go away or whatever, and she's pushing hard on that. And I'm glad that there was a representative there on that side. She said, while the United States has topped the gold medal in 8 of the last 10 summer games, I'm here to tell you the margin is narrowing. Around the world, nations are investing aggressively in sports, building centralized training systems, expanding funding, and prioritizing athlete development in new ways. That growing global competition comes at a moment. This is key here. That growing global competition comes at a moment when U.S. colleges must increase their investments in football to stay competitive. The economic pressures are unsustainable. So basically, her fear is that you're just going to keep trying to rake in as much money as you possibly can, and you're going to pour that into football. So that's like another little side project here that is getting ignored in these massive conversations. But in the article here, she writes one line, notably absent were any student athletes. President Trump said they were well represented. You know why? Because people like Nick Saban and Urban Meyer, all of the people that I know in the room and the people probably I don't know, they all care very much about the student athlete more so than they care about themselves. So I think they're really here in that sense. They're represented very well. No, I mean, no. It's hard to say that. So here's a story. This is from Number 3 Sports. And again, I'm trying to make sure this is all legit. But former Alabama running back Trent Richardson, remember Trent Richardson? He weighed in on Nick Saban's stance against paying players. Quote, honestly, I don't get why he's even commenting on it. They gave me and my family $75,000 to commit, plus $10,000 a month to stay at Alabama. Do we believe that? Do we believe that Nick Saban,
yes,
did that kind of thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Look, I think Nick Saban probably did that because they could, but now that everyone can do that, now that it's chaos, he can no longer hoard players.
Well, and listen, like, I don't know that what I'm saying is, like, do we even believe that that was a real quote? Because this Number 3 Sports, they have a lot of followers, but I've never heard any negative stuff from Trent Richardson on Nick Saban. It's all been very positive stuff. So that's why I was like, that seems a little odd. So like I said, I'm digging into it. But I will say that with Nick Saban, like, are you telling me he never once jumped over the line a little bit? I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he did everything perfectly. But I just have a hard time believing that.
Yeah, I think they all did. I know the Pac-12 has done some things. USC, Washington have both gotten in trouble. Every conference has done it. But I'm sure every school that has resources has done something like this. It is what it is. And the best way to get rid of it is to have some kind of NIL deal to have transparency. But then you're going to get the chaos that is what we have now. It should have been solved 20 years ago.
Smitty texting in on the First Advantage text line. The transfer portal is a far bigger issue than NIL or revenue sharing. Yeah, but those all kind of – the NIL stuff just kind of goes hand in hand with the transfer portal, doesn't it? Goes on to say, limit the portal to one transfer without requiring a player to sit out, and the poaching will be cut down by a bunch. If transfers were tied to graduation, or at least progress towards graduation, is the most logical. Well, here's the – why did they allow unlimited transfers in the first place? Why have we now allowed that? Because somewhere up there in the Supreme Court world, it was deemed unconstitutional to just lock kids up. If they want to move on, they should be able to move on. Nothing keeps you or Tanner or me from going to college, and then I'm like, I don't like this town. This town sucks. I'm leaving. I'm not going to spend my 20s in a town I don't like. So I can leave a school and go to a different school anytime I want. So I guess, and this is where I've always stood, like, at the beginning of this, a player should be able to earn money based on their likeness. If they can't go get jobs, then they should be able to earn money. If they don't like the college they're going to, they should be able to leave it. Life's too short. Now, I know that there's commitments, and that's different. This is college we're talking about, and I get that. But if they really hate their environment, and maybe they had some crazy circumstances take place, maybe it's a personal thing with coaches. Maybe it was a Steve Adazio thing. Maybe their family, like they have a family member that's on the brink and they want to move closer. I don't know, Mike. There's a million reasons why, but I know you, Brady, you committed to the team. Yeah, we all commit to stuff, right? We all commit to jobs, and then we don't like the money necessarily, so we're looking for a better job. And
you don't like the environment.
You don't like the environment. It happens. You're going to be here for 5 to 10 years, right? Yeah, sure. Then you get in there, and you're there for 2 years, and you're kind of like, I could get better opportunities. I don't know, man. I look at this. There are definite, obvious reasons why I believe transfer portal, NIL, like those things can be a good thing. But we have absolutely abused it. And I was naive, thinking we would be able to. Oh, NIL, you're there at the school, and you want to work with somebody to endorse you. Great. But now it's used as a carrot to get you there. That's the problem. Now, we have to quit. This is where I think the problem is with, according to what I saw from Ross Dellinger on what President Trump's maybe wanting to put out there, what this executive order is going to look like, is to try to basically just rewind time and put it back to what it was. Reset the settings on your computer, so to speak. Go back to 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whenever it was. You can't, because it was already deemed unconstitutional. So we got to quit worrying. We got to quit focusing on, they're making too much money. That's not the issue. The issue is how they're making the money. The issue is leaving the school and entering the portal because they are enticed to do so. That's the problem. How do we curb that? And this is why I say, if a guy enters the portal, you tag him. Before he enters the portal, guy enters your team. You got your CSU. What do they have? Maybe 10 guys that make money? Maybe. What do you think? Like, we're talking decent money. Maybe 10? Would you go 20? 15?
No, 10. Depending on how good the team is.
Let's just play with 10 then. I got 10 dogs on my team. You all commit to CSU. Okay, great. Here's the deal. You want to sign up? I'm putting a $100,000 tag on your contract or whatever the hell it is. It means a buyout. And you're pretty good too. All right, oh, and you're not as good as the other kid. I'm at $50,000. So what that means is you enter the portal. Neat. Good for you. As soon as you sign with a team, it's understood that you or that team is going to be paying $50,000 or $100,000 to our school. That's the only way I can think. Mike, come on, give me something else. How do you stop people from cheating? Money stops people from cheating. So if I'm reaching out, so this story, Eric Gibson Jr., the kid that from UNC, that went, or before he went to UNC, he went to LSU. He did not play because LSU said, hey, Eric Gibson, we think you can come here and compete. All right. Just hung up the phone. Hey, Bob Johnson, we think you can come here and compete. Hung up the phone. Hey, Jarrett, we think you can come here and compete. I've done that 30 times. I got 30 dudes loading up coming here to LSU. They're all going to get on that field for one day. And whoever sticks out, you're going to stay on. Whoever doesn't, sorry, you have to pay for your school. I'm not doing that. That's what happened to Eric Gibson Jr. So they're casting a wide net out there. And I've got my little minions and claws everywhere. I'm reaching out to this guy. Hey, man, I hear if you enter the portal, LSU's going to pick you up. If you enter the portal, LSU's going to pick you up. Some of these kids get screwed, but then these other kids, they enter the portal, and they get bank for it. We have to slow down that process of just external factors, third parties, whatever, reaching out to these kids left and right and telling them that they should enter the portal because they're going to get money from it. If I think my school is going to be on the hook for thousands of dollars every player that ends up joining my roster, then I'm not as likely to reach out to them. But then again, they're making empty promises anyway. How do you stop cheating? How do you stop people from being sleazy? It ain't necessarily the fact that these guys are popular and can go make money on their likeness. They should be able to. I got a job when I was in college. I wasn't making money off my likeness, but I was able to work outside of classes. I was working. These kids aren't outside of classes. They're lifting. They're studying playbooks. They're whatever it is that they're doing. We hear from Ed Lamb every single week, and their schedule is tight. It's crazy. So I've always said, like, it's not necessarily the NIL and the fact that they're making money off name, image, and likeness. It's being abused. It's how we're using that now. And so I what's a quick fix? You make the schools pay. If I sign a kid, now if there's no tag on that kid, then I don't owe you anything. But I have to do that before I get guys to commit to my team. And now kids might not want to do that. I don't know, because it decreases their chances of getting onto a football team. But we got to slow something down.
Yeah, maybe all those people who are approaching those kids might have to do it through the school itself.
Yeah, like that's the only way.
Bob's Burgers wants to sponsor someone to go to UNC. They might have to go through UNC.
It's just the biggest thing is how do you stop the cheating? That's what we need.
You got all these.
You got all these coaches there that are at this meeting, and I don't. I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but you're telling me Urban Meyer, who did his thing.
No,
you're telling me that Urban Meyer never once cheated.
He was too busy having people in his lap.
Yeah, there's your second lap joke of the segment. You're telling me that all these coaches that are there, or AEDs, had no knowledge of any kind of, hey, enter the portal. Although when Urban Meyer was coaching, it was different, but they were still doing it. They were doing it. That era, they were doing it even 10 years ago, it was happening. Just at more deceitful levels. Now it's out in the open. We all know it's happening, but nobody cares. So the issue is not the money they're making. It's how they're making the money. Faith says, on the First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Sadly, if the schools aren't cheating, the agents will for them, then the schools can blame it on the agent. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, agents are getting a hold of, they're talking to people, they're wanting their guys to get paid. When this whole started, I didn't think they could have agents. Now they just have agents. It was supposed to be, well, no, just marketing agents. Well, it's the same thing. 33 minutes after the hour, Mike. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind.
103.1 and 1310 KFK.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Maybe the Broncos are going to work out some kind of a trade. since they're not signing any free agents. Zach Stevens just asked the question, does the possibility of Alvin Kamara being traded to the Broncos become a reality? I don't just get J.K. Dobbins back and work with R.J. Harvey. Coach him up. I'm leaning with you on this. R.J.'s going to be fine. He's going to be fine because all the options are gone. You need to be fine, R.J. Harvey. You're all we got.
Yeah, he hasn't had a chance to run the ball.
Right.
So let's see what Davis Webb can do about getting him the ball.
Yeah, there you go, Mike. All right, make me feel good about putting all the eggs in the R.J. Harvey basket here. Make me feel good about this.
Well,
Davis Webb. Davis Webb's going to be the man, and he's going to run the ball so well, and R.J. just didn't get enough and not enough attention, and they're going to run it more.
I think they've found out that he does really need to work on his vision. So I think spending a lot more time with him in the offseason, having J.K. Dobbins show him.
Is it a mistake that George Payton does not subscribe to the philosophy of paying running backs? Is this a mistake we're into here? We were singing George Payton's praises a lot last week, Mike. Travis Etienne is reportedly going to get $13 million per year with the Saints. The Broncos expressed a lot of interest, this according to Mike Kliss of 9 News, in running back Travis Etienne, but the reported $13 million per year, it's crazy. Is it crazy when you have it? You have it. Now, you're not losing, other than John Franklin Myers, you're really not losing much this year. But I don't know.
Maybe they're saving themselves for future contracts.
Now, Denver was slow to make signings last year, weren't they? And then it hit, and it was like Hufanga and Greenlaw and Evan Ingram and J.K. Dobbins. Suddenly, like, they pieced together a really good free agency. But those were all first. I mean, are we already kind of like on the way out of the first wave? I mean, there's some big names that are already falling off that list, Michael. So this might be where you are.
Maybe the Broncos are going, okay, we'll... Maybe the Broncos expressed interest just to drive up the price.
That's
going to be my conspiracy theory.
That they're what? They're just driving up the price because they're...
Yeah, well, the Broncos are like, oh, we're really interested. We'll give you $11 million. Oh, yeah, we'll give you $13 million. Oh, that's too rich for our blood. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, allegedly, that's why the Jets tagged Breece Hall. They were going to do the other weird tag, but they're actually doing the free agency tag. Faith says, did Javonte Williams fall off the list? I think Javonte re-signed with Dallas, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, he re-signed with the Cowboys.
I think he got a decent amount of money. Good for him.
I thought Kamara was heading to retirement. So this idea of trading for Alvin Kamara, yeah. Like, I thought he was going to be done. Boy. Everyone's going right now. And I thought for sure we were going to have some name. Faith, how you doing? Michael Pittman just got traded to the Steelers. Maybe the Broncos are going to be players in the trade market. Maybe they work some trades. Free agency is not just about signing free agents. It's time where you see crazy trades. You just see that as evident with Michael Pittman being traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Can you trade money, cap money, for draft picks?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Fine idea, but I don't believe so. Maybe you can.
So I was going to say, the Broncos are pretty low in the draft. Number 30's practically second round.
Oh, can you trade a contract? Can you trade a player for a draft pick? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, you can. Can you flat out buy someone's draft pick?
No.
Trade your 30 and some of your cap space.
No. You're wanting to put the game on easy and cheat your way through. You're turning off all the regulations on free agency and trade, so you can make the dream team you've always wanted. Are the Broncos the only team that hasn't made a deal yet? With, again, they made deals with their guys, but none of these names out there. 44 minutes after the hour, we'll keep digging. But this is underwhelming so far for the Broncos. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash, not the news, not the top story of the day, the local sports flash, Mike.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I thought you were telling me to stop. I'm still confused by your question, because Smitty texted in and he's like, yeah, Houston traded Brock Osweiler to Cleveland for basically nothing just to get rid of themselves of the contract. Yeah, it's like the Nuggets with Michael Porter Jr. You can trade your top player for a lesser player, but they're taking on the salary hit. Is that what you're asking? Or you're saying, can you trade your...
Straight up trade cash for a draft pick.
Just buy a draft pick?
Just essentially buy a draft pick? Say the Cleveland Browns have a better draft pick than you.
Just give them money.
They have no cap space.
I don't think so. But maybe that'll be something that changes. All right, we'll wrap up hour number two. We got Pressure Cooker coming up. It's a big night tonight. We'll talk about it coming up next.
Preps Talk. Listen to Coach speak. Weekdays at 10 at Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
This is wild, just trying to keep up with everything. Mike Evans is leaving the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and going to sign with the San Francisco 49ers. It's another big one there.
An elderly fellow.
Yeah, he's getting up there. He's getting up there. How bummed are we that the Broncos missed out on Kenneth Walker and Travis Etienne? You can't have everybody. I know Broncos Twitter was like, oh, go get that guy. But I really thought one of those dudes might be a Denver Bronco. All right. Whole show Pressure Cooker coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.